Savior. So I appreciate you doing all that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, good to see Alex back from his missions trip up to North Georgia this weekend. Glad he's home for the service tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and notice in verse number 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Father, help us tonight as we continue in 1 Timothy, now ending chapter 4. Bless our time of study. I pray that it speak to hearts tonight, as your word is like a hammer, your word is like a sword, your word is like healing balm, fresh water, fresh bread. We need it tonight. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As Paul closes chapter 4, he admonishes Timothy with several, what I'm calling tonight, bullet points. Sometimes in a sermon typed out or written out, or a paper for school, for college, a report, even for work, though there will be sometimes a summary, or instead of typing out everything that a person wants to say, they'll put bullet points of the main themes and main emphasis. And here at the end of chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, I find five bullet points that Paul wants to emphasize to Timothy. Now, he's encouraging Timothy as a young man, as a pastor and as a young man, and how he should be faithful and an example to others. He challenges Timothy to keep the most important things in his ministry at the forefront, and not to get sidetracked. How many of you can say, "Brother Rick, sometimes I just get sidetracked. I just get sidetracked." And sometimes that happens to all of us. He charges Timothy to faithfulness and to use the gifts that God has given him. Not to waste his time. Not to put his gifts on the shelf. But to use his life for the glory of God. Can I remind us tonight with this simple truth that God has given each one of us a life. And as we talked about the senator that passed away last night, we mentioned that this morning. We don't know how long our life is. And God has given you a life. And God has not given you your life so you could live it how you want. God has graciously given you a life that you would live it for the glory of God. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And so tonight I want us to see these bullet points that Paul gives us here in chapter 4. Notice verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Number one tonight, Paul emphasizes, be an example. Be an example. How many parents have ever told your kids, your older kids, you better be an example to the younger kids? And Paul says that to Timothy. Now notice he starts the verse, "Let no man despise," to disdain, to think little of, to belittle thy youth. Don't let other people, Timothy, look down on you because you're a younger man. Now, most commentators think that he was probably in his late 20s, mid-30s. So he's not a child. He's not what we call a teenager. He'd be a young man, a young pastor. And he's saying to Timothy, don't let belittle you because of your age. Don't look at yourself and think, well, I'm just a young person. There's not much I can do for the Lord. Aren't you glad God can use older people and God can use younger people? Don't look down on yourself for being college age or a teenager or even you kids in the room tonight. God even wants to use the kids. Let no man despise thy youth. but be thou an example of the believers. Now, we often tell the young people to look at the older saints and look at them as an example, and that's true. But young people, you are also supposed to be an example of what a believer should be. Now, in order to be an example of what a believer should be, I must stop and emphasize, even on this Sunday night, in order to be an example of the believer, you first must be a believer. You first must be a believer. This means you must know Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a point in time in your life where you recognized that you were a sinner. You didn't blame mom and dad for it. You didn't blame aunt and uncle and society and everybody else. But you and you alone have broken God's law. You have sinned against God. God knows every lie. God knows every lustful thought. God knows every time we've stolen, not just banks, but every time we stole answers off somebody else's test in school, stealing. God knows every time. God knows every sin with our mind, hands, and feet. God knows it all. For all have sinned. And because we're sinners, God cannot allow us into heaven, because God is perfect and heaven is perfect. But aren't you glad, even though we deserve hell, we deserve justice because God is a just judge, aren't you glad He's also a God of love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, trusteth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right now, I am leaning on one leg on this pulpit. If I go much further, I'll fall into the aisle with the pulpit. But I'm leaning on it. I'm depending on this pulpit to hold me up. You know what salvation is? It's who you're depending upon to get you to heaven. If you're depending on church, your confidence is in the wrong place. If you're hoping you're good enough, your confidence is in the wrong place. If you're trusting in your church, your pastor, your rabbi, your priest, or whoever, your confidence is in the wrong place. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in man. Salvation is found in Christ. Salvation is not in a church. It's found in Jesus Christ. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Don't raise your hand tonight, but give me a good hearty amen if you know that you have eternal life. And you know how you know that? You have that because you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you could not say amen tonight, if you didn't know for sure, let me tell you something, you can know. Someone asked the Apostle Paul the question that I wish everybody would ask. What must I do to be saved? Here was his answer. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The mode is to believe. That's how you get saved. Faith. But you must believe in the right person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can save you but the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be an example of a believer, you must first be a what? Believer. You must be a Christian. 1 Peter 5:3. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now notice in verse 12, in what areas are we to be examples? First of all, be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. That means your mouth. That means how you speak. That means what you say. That means what jokes you tell. First, the Bible tells us in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Come on now, how many times have we blown it with what we've said? That's why there's a whole chapter in the book of James that talks about the tongue being like a fire. It cannot be tamed. It cannot be controlled without the power of God. Young person tonight, moms and dads, you watch what you say. You know what? Let me put it a little bit rougher tonight. You know what my mom used to say? Boy, you better watch your mouth. How many ever heard that before? Hey, believer, can I kindly say this? You ought to watch your mouth. Jesus is listening to every word. Okay? Be an example in word. Notice this, in conversation. Conversation doesn't mean just talking to people. Conversation means your manner of living. Because our mouth speaks, but how many know this? Our actions speak. You ever heard someone say this? Actions speak louder than words. People see, or people hear not only what we say, but people see the way we live. 1 Peter chapter 3, you go read it later. You know how the Bible tells Christian wives who are married to unsaved husbands how to win them? Don't nag them. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. The Bible says you are to have chaste conversation coupled with fear. In other words, you show that unsaved husband that what you have is the real deal. Be an example in the way you live. Notice this, in charity. Charity. This is true love on display. Sometimes people go to charities to get food and to get help. It's giving. This is true love on display. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know, if there's ever a place, two places in this world that it ought to be evident that believers love each other, it ought to be the home and it ought to be the church. There ought not be any hate in this church. None. None. I don't care what it's about. There ought not be any hate. We ought to have brotherly love. And the Bible says we ought to be an example of charity, extending love. That means compassion. That means forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can say all the right things, but if you're not saying it with charity, all you're making is a bunch of noise. Be an example in charity. Be an example in spirit. That's your attitude. That's your attitude. How many of you remember when you were kids, your mom knew you had a bad attitude, not because of what you said, but because how your face looked? You know, the Bible in Proverbs talks about that our face reveals our heart, our attitude. We're to have a Christ-like attitude. Now, I understand it's tough sometimes when things don't go your way and you don't really want to have a good attitude, but understand we can have a good attitude by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look, we as Christians, we can be firm, we can be unmovable in our faith, we can be solid on Christ, but it doesn't mean that we have to be jerks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a good attitude at work. Have a good attitude at home. When you come to church, have a good, young person, can I say this? I am telling you, God expects you to have the right attitude toward your mom and dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Can I get an amen from mom and dads tonight? Because I know you like those verses. They're your favorite verses in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I remember one time when I was a kid, when I mouthed off to my mom, and boy, I said something disrespectful, she swung the pot, little cotton pot holder thing, right? But she swung the side with the metal ring to hang it up. I had a tattoo right there on my lip, my cheek. Man, that hurt. I'll tell you what, I didn't say that to my mom again. How many of you understand tonight? Young person, we're not picking on you, we're just picking on you. But some of us back when we were kids, we weren't allowed to look at our mom the way some of you look at your mom and dad. We weren't allowed to say the things you say to your mom and dad. When your mom and dad, when my mom and dad said to do something, it wasn't, if I feel like it, come on. Promise you this, you do it once, you got busted. Do it twice, you ain't alive. Young person, God still commands you to respect your mom and dad, to obey your mom and dad. That's your attitude. Have a Christ-like attitude. Every parent can give me $10 after the service for that 3 minutes of preaching there. And then notice this, in faith. In faith. God bless this faith. Hebrews 11:6, have faith in God. They ought to see our faith. They ought to see that we're trusting God. The world ought to see that we don't have it all figured out, but you know what? We're trusting the Lord. We're trusting in His grace. And notice this, in purity. In purity. Now notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 22. 1 Timothy 5 verse 22. He's talking directly to Timothy, applied to us tonight. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. People have asked us, and I don't want this to sound like some legalistic higher than you. You may have a different opinion, and that's up to you. But my family has never been to a movie theater, and I'll tell you why. We've never been to a movie theater. It's not because I think going to the movie is wicked, because I know a lot of Christians that won't go to a movie theater, but all of a sudden Netflix is of God. Preach it, Brother Rick. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why, because most of the movies I see coming out and advertised are nothing but trash and garbage. Language, immorality, and we take our kids to sit there and view that, and then we wonder why they're using that language on social media. Impurity. Be an example. Young person, be an example. Be an example at home. Be an example on social media. Be an example at school. Be the right kind of believer. And then notice the second bullet point, verse 13. Give attendance. Give attendance. Remember when the teacher came up and said, all right, time to take attendance. She said your name here. Or the more proper kid said, present. Give an attendance. What do we give attendance to? Verse 13. Chapter 4. There we go. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance. Give attendance. To bring near, to give attention to be present for. Give attendance to reading. Now, obviously, he's talking about Scripture here because he mentions doctrine. And where do we find doctrine? The Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to read the Scripture in church. You say, why in the world would you mention that? You would be surprised with a lot of the clips that you see on social media that there are places called churches where they don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God anymore. We ought to hold the Bible. We ought to read the Bible. We ought to live the Bible. We ought to honor the Bible, love the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And then personal reading. Do you as a believer read the Bible? I challenge you tonight. Make sure you are in the Bible. Make sure you're in the book. If the doctor prescribed me medicine and I went back to a follow-up appointment and he said, you still have the same problem. Yes, I still have the same problem. Did you take the medicine? Nah, I didn't feel like it. Nah, I just didn't have time to take the medicine. I was too busy to take the medicine. I just thought I could get by without it. He's going to look at me and say, well, duh, you're still sick because you didn't take the medicine. You know, I wonder if part of my own problem in my life and the problems that I have, problems you have, might be because we're not taking God's medicine. We don't have time. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. That's the calling. That's the admonition. We might call it preaching. Luke 3:18. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. That was John the Baptist. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to love and want to be around the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Can I just say thank you to all those who will labor in VBS this next week. Thank you for all those that junior teach in junior church and Sunday school classes and adult Sunday school classes. And by the way, can I just say, if you're not coming to Sunday school, can I just kindly make a plug? You need to get up and get to Sunday school. Teachers labor to study. They put together lessons for you. They invite you to the meal. You need to be here to support your church, and you need the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Thanks for being here tonight. Attendance to exhortation. Attendance to doctrine. Attendance to doctrine. Where you go to church is important. What people believe is important. What group you participate with is important. The things that you post are important. Why? Doctrine. Doctrine. Give attendance to doctrine. Titus 2:7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Oh, we need to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to the doctrine. Timothy, be an example. Timothy, give attendance. But number three, Timothy, neglect not. Look at verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the lying on of hands of the presbytery. Neglect not. The word neglect means to be careless or negligent. He said, don't be careless. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Perhaps the gift is found in verse 13 when he said, give attendance to exhortation. Perhaps that was Pastor Timothy's gift. That's how God was using him. He was an able teacher, apt to teach, apt to preach God's word. And he said, don't be careless with the gift God has given you. Make sure you're faithful to it. Use what God has given you. And can I say there are churches all over this country with lots of people, lots of Christians that God has gifted in this area, gifted in this area, gifted in this area, but they don't use the gifts God has given them for His honor and His glory. They keep it to themselves. Don't neglect the gift. Timothy, preach. If your gift is exhortation, preach the word. But they don't like it. Preach it anyways. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Yeah, but they're trying to kick me out. They're trying to shut me down. You just keep preaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you that was given to you by prophecy. They put their hands on you. Notice the rest of that verse. With the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Those men of God got around you. They laid hands on you. They prophesied over you. They talked about how God was going to use you. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't neglect it. You use what God has given you to use. Can I ask you tonight, are you giving what God's given you to use? Are you using your talents and abilities for God? Neglect not, Timothy. Neglect not. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. And then notice in verse number 15, the word meditate. The word meditate, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. Now, when we think of meditate, probably the first thing that comes to many minds is someone sitting on some yoga mat or leaning over some big bouncy rubber ball or something like that, having their fingers up, you know, meditating and doing all these things and emptying your mind and all that kind of stuff. By the way, God says, fill your mind with Scripture. Fill your mind with Scripture. And that's what you'll think of meditating, kind of the you know, type, yeah, Master Yoda type thing, you know. But here the Bible says, meditate, think upon. The word meditate means to care for. In other words, what you've been given, care for it, attend to it, ponder it. In other words, he's saying, give serious thought to it. It's not some empty your mind of everything we just told you. It's give serious thought to it. In other words, Paul's saying this to Timothy. Listen, this thing of Jesus, this thing of the Bible, this thing of church, this thing of reaching people, this is not a game. It's serious business, folks. Remember when I was a kid, my mom would get my brother and I together, and her and my stepdad would go out to dinner, they'd go out shopping, they'd go out and do someone, and they took the chance of leaving us two home alone. That was some great adventures my brother and I had. And we were home alone. And they'd stand there and give us instructions. And then, I want you to do this, I want you to clean that, and that, when you're done, then you can play games or whatever. And then they would stand there and say, now what did we just tell you to do? And sometimes we do this. And my mom would say, that went in one ear and out the other. Oh, your mom said the same thing to you? Okay. How many times does God's word go in one ear and out the other? We say we're listening. We say we're with it. We say we're paying attention. But when it comes down to it and God says, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the word of God? What did you do with the opportunities? What did you do with being an example? What did you do with the gifts? And we just stand there at the judge's seat and say, meditate. Young person, this is serious. Young person, I hope you understand tonight. The church is not just an add-on to Jesus. Church is important. Serious. The Bible's not a book that if you don't have anything else to read, read the Bible. We're talking about God, the Creator. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Heaven is serious. Hell is serious. Salvation is serious. Folks, this is not a game. We're to meditate. Think on these things. And then notice he says in verse 15, give thyself wholly to them. Wholly. That means entirely. That means totally. Joshua 14:8, but I wholly followed the Lord. Joshua said it of Caleb in Joshua 14:14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. God doesn't want a little extra add-on in your life. God doesn't want to be kind of when you have time every few months. God doesn't want to be just a little, you know, good luck charm, like a lucky rabbit's foot. Well, if I just kind of get God on this, he'll bless me or a spare time. No, God wants you to wholly, wholly, wholly follow him. You know why Caleb was so blessed of God? Because his heart was wholly given to God. I ask all of us tonight, who has your heart? Who has your heart? I've mentioned many times when I was a senior in Bible college and Summer was back home in Fresno, she would handwrite me letters, spray it with perfume, put a little glitter in it, dot the I's on Ricky, dot the I with a heart, send it up in the mailbox. I could smell it before I got to the post office. And when I pulled out that letter, I read it once, I read it twice. Why? Because my girlfriend, my fiance that last year told me she loved me, put a couple X's, a couple of O's on the letter. And I couldn't wait to see her again. Couldn't wait to be with her again. I took that letter seriously. And if she would have come visit and I had all those letters still sealed in the envelopes in the glove box, that would tell her those letters didn't mean a thing to me. But it was serious because I loved her. And I wonder tonight, does God have your heart? Teenager, does God have your heart? Young man tonight, young lady tonight, moms and dads, all of us in the room, God deserves our hearts. Well, give me one good reason why God should have all of my life. He gave his entire life for you on the cross. Give thyself wholly to them. Watch this. That thy profiting may appear to all. Listen, everyone benefits when you are wholly living for God. Everyone benefits. The Sunday school class, the sermons, the soul winning, the parenting, the homeschooling, the public school, whatever it is in life, work. When you are wholly living for God, everybody benefits from you living for Him. We got VBS coming up. We're going to have prayer in just a moment. We've had folks here all week long, working late hours into the night, setting up, decorating Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning. We've had folks come out to pass out flyers and sweat like nobody's business. You step out of the car, I'm going to get all these flyers out. You get one on the door and you've already lost 20 pounds from sweat. And you're getting those flyers out there. And you're hoping kids come. And you're talking to parents. Why? You're giving yourself to something. And I know some of you can't do all those things. But you can pray. And you can give. And you can believe that God can do something. Oh, meditate. Take what God says seriously. It's not a game. It's not a game. And then notice verse 16. Take heed. Take heed unto thyself. And under the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. Church, take heed. Now notice there's a concern in the take heed. Take heed to yourself. Timothy, this is for you. I don't want you to be a washout. I don't want you to go into false doctrine. I don't want you to be a castaway. Timothy, take care of yourself. Pay attention to your walk with God. Now, by the way, how many of us could admit tonight it's easier to walk into a room and start looking at where everybody else is at and forget that you're the one that needs help. You're the one that needs grace. You're the one that needs to get right with God. But I can find the beam in someone else, and I can look at that, and I can look at that. Well, God says to Timothy, take heed to yourself. You make sure you're where you're supposed to be. I like what one preacher said. This is written to pastors. But he said, you make sure you watch out for bad women. You watch out for bad men. You pay attention to your thought life. Keep your sins confessed. Watch your temper. Forgive quickly and don't hold grudges. Spend time in the book and abstain from all appearance of evil. Take heed to yourself. How many realize Satan would like to take every one of us out? Every one of us. And then he says, take heed to the doctrine. Jude 3 tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. I saw a clip today that a man talked about and exposed the heresy of a famous pastor, I think, in Atlanta. And he got up to preach to his congregation, and he had on this bright yellow suit. I mean, he looked like the man from Curious George. It was yellow. And looked like a banana walking around on the platform. And he was preaching away. And he talked about in Genesis 1:1 how the light was but he talked about it in the way that Jesus became a created being. And those little slips there, we don't catch that kind of stuff. But can I say this? Jesus wasn't a created being. He always has been. That's important stuff. Now, come on, you make a big deal. Hey, can I just say this? Salvation is a big deal. I was just reading a doctrinal statement of a church that talked about how if you commit so many sins as a saved person, you can forfeit your faith and walk away and lose your salvation. Let me tell you something. If you can lose your salvation, every person in this room would lose it before vacation Bible school tomorrow. I'm glad I'm not holding on. See, that's the difference. Are you holding on to your salvation, or is Jesus holding on to your salvation? The Bible says He keeps us from falling. If this depended on me, I'm losing it. But my salvation ain't dependent on me. My salvation's dependent on Him. Salvation's a big deal. The deity of Christ is a big deal. Who Jesus is. The Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant, and preserved. It's a big deal. What translation you use is not a matter of what's hip and cool and the newest out one today. It does matter what Bible you read. See, get serious about these things. There's a concern. Take heed to the doctrine. So that's the concern in that phrase. But notice the continuation in verse 16. Continue in them. It's not just Sunday. It's not just Wednesday. It's a concern to continue. Continue in them. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Young people, can I challenge you tonight? Don't be so quick when you become a young adult to throw off what your mom and dad and your Sunday school teacher taught you from the Bible. Don't be so quick to chase the next cool thing or the next big movement. You better make sure, and I've said this 100 times, don't just take my word for it. Check out what the Bible says. Be careful. Continue. And then notice the consequences. Verse 16. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself. Timothy, you'll stay right with God. You'll keep down the same old path. You'll be faithful. You'll be serving God at 30, and you'll be serving God at 70, and down the road. You stay faithful. You take heed to yourself. You stay faithful to the Bible. Some will bail out. Some will go to teachers having itching ears. But you be faithful. And not only will you save yourself, but you'll save them that hear thee. We let all these people giving and working and passing out for Vacation Bible School. And Brother Leroy's going to host a meeting here right after we're done in just a few minutes. As soon as we land this plane tonight. And he's going to go through all the instructions, and he's going to hand out jobs and all that and answer questions. And then he's going to end with prayer. And folks are going to pray for VBS and all of that. We want these kids to come. We want these kids to come. I know sometimes VBS can be tough. I know there can be a lot of rowdiness. There can be a lot of noise. I know for the next week you might have a migraine that will not go away. I get it. It's not easy. How many realize these days kids ministry is not always easy? How many realize this? Bus ministry ain't always easy these days. We need grace. We need God's help. But I want to challenge you with something. What if you wholly give yourself, and this week, a little boy or a little girl comes, and they don't know a whole lot, but they hear the gospel. And they haven't done quite the amount of sins that you've done, but they recognize they are a sinner. And they can't save themselves. And they, in childlike faith, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And they become born again. You say, oh, it's wonderful, they'll go to heaven. Oh, they'll go to heaven one day. But let's not forget that the gospel is not meant just to get you to heaven. It's meant to change lives now. That's called discipleship. So many people, they want to get their ticket punched. Well, I'm on my way to heaven. We'll see you when the trumpet sounds. No, no, no. God wants to change lives right now. And what if one of those little boys come, one of those little girls come? It could be someone from our church. It could be one of our kids here tonight. It could be someone on the van. Someone comes and they hear the gospel. Listen, listen. And they hear and they enjoy and they keep coming and they get saved. And Jesus changes their life and they don't go down the road of drugs they saw their uncle go down. And they don't go down of living a loose, immoral life like they saw that other person do. And they don't end up in jail. How many think Jesus can keep kids out of jail? And they don't go to jail. And he keeps them in church. I think about our church kids. He keeps them in church, loving the Bible. And they're not swayed by the crowd that wants to get them out of the Bible. God changes a little life here next week. 30 years go by, 40 years go by, and we find out one of those little kids ends up in the ministry, on the mission field, teaching Sunday school, being an usher, sweeping the floors at a church, loving God's local church, loving the Bible, getting married, having a family, avoiding jail. And by the way, there's many who reject Jesus, and their life does end up a disaster. Now, by the way, you can be saved and your life still end up a disaster if you don't follow Jesus Christ. So we don't want these kids just to go to heaven. We want God to change their life. You look at our city, Albany, and I know we got people represented different places. Some of you live in, you know, Dawson and Sylvester, and some of you from, you know, Alabama and all kinds of places. I don't know where. We got people live all over the place, you know. And what's going to change this place? Well, there's all kinds of programs. There's all kinds of help. We get calls all the time for people needing help, and we try to help some people, and we can do what we can. But I'll just be honest, and I really believe this, and if I didn't believe this, then we wouldn't have VBS. And I probably wouldn't be doing this tonight. But you know really what'll change this city? If God sends revival to this church, and we're wholly given to Jesus because we love Him, not for the praise of man, not because pastor asked or somewhat, because we love Jesus, and then a little kid gets changed, and another little kid gets changed, and a teenager gets changed, and all this stuff happens, and then the city starts to change. Because there's a bunch of people that love Jesus, and their lives are changed, and then there's not as many needs for prison chaplains. Look, and tonight, don't sit there with your arms folded thinking, yeah, well, those people, they need it. Can I remind you, by the grace of God, you're not there tonight? Can I remind you, by the grace of God, you're sitting in church in the air conditioning thinking, when's he going to be done? Hey, you could be in jail tonight. Your marriage could be over tonight. By the grace of God. I don't care what color, it doesn't matter to me what your background is. It doesn't matter to me who did what, when, where, what. I'm telling you right now, it's by the grace of God we're even here singing tonight. And that could happen for a kid next week. Be an example, young people. Moms and dads, let's be an example. Let's meditate. Let's use. Let's not neglect the gift that God has given us. Use it for His glory and His honor. Live life for Him. Live life for Him. And at work and at school and in family and church and all these areas, it's about Jesus. It's about Him. And may God use us. May God use us. Tonight, I am going to give an invitation because I want to see if there's anybody here that needs Jesus. But in a moment, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's only 7:28. Last week, we started this at 7:48. Tonight, it's only 7:28. There's revival right there. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. God may have spoken in your heart about the message. But however God spoke to you, I'm going to ask us to do a little praying tonight, and I'm going to ask the entire church to respond. Now, maybe you're not able to make your way down here. Maybe you'll get crowded. I understand that. Maybe you have to sit in your seat. Whatever you have to do. But I want us to pray a little bit tonight for Vacation Bible School.